Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I've been told that the cold weather's coming back. That's all right. That'll make us be going through the summer and remember what we had in the winter. Anyway, it's our portion of our service where we give thanks to God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God and that You love us and that You have a plan for each of us. And we thank You that we can't earn or deserve Your grace because it comes from You without charge. And now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word, and we have a time for silent prayer so that we can acknowledge to God the Father any unconfessed sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come here and grow in grace by getting your word. What would we do without your word? It is truth. It is the truth. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate on it this morning. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do a couple of things here. You know, we've been getting some new terms that you have heard, probably haven't heard in the past. Some of you may have. And I decided to take these terms and kind of whittle them down so that you can understand them better and that you will be able to explain to other people what you're talking about when you use these terms. But I'm going to put these on the board. So I've really shrunk them down because you can't remember all of the things that go with each one of these terms. But if you can just get what we might call a sound bite of what they mean, then you can talk to other people and they can understand what you're talking about. So the first one that we're going to look at is the divine dynosphere. This is one we've been studying for about 3 or 4 weeks, I guess, something like that. And there's a plethora of information about the divine dynosphere. But when you go to talk to somebody about it, then you want to be able to explain it in a way that you don't drone on and on. So this is the definition of the divine dynosphere that I have shrunk. The divine dynosphere is God's sphere of power to help believers live the Christian way of life by an unfailing trust in the Lord rather than ourselves. And doesn't capture all that's there, but it gives them an idea of what it's about. It's a sphere of power, and without that power, we cannot live the Christian life. If you try to live the Christian life and you leave God out of it, then that's going nowhere. And what it helps us do is have an unfailing trust in the Lord rather than ourselves. But most people, most Christians, go to themselves and depend on themselves before they go to God. And that's just backwards. And so that is the divine dynosphere. Well, by the way, the word dynosphere comes from dunamis in the Greek. That's the dyna part. And sphera in the Greek also, which means the sphere. So it's a sphere of power. And we see that in other ones as well. I don't know if I should just wait for y'all to not to copy this, but this will be on the website. So, right, Cam? Okay. All right. The next one is the cosmic system. Now, cosmos refers to the world. So you could call it the worldly system, but when you call it the cosmic system, it zeroes down right on what the Bible says. So the cosmic system is Satan's sphere of power, which he uses to lie to unbelievers and to control believers in Jesus Christ. That's what the cosmic system is. He's always lying. He would make a good Democrat. I hope there's no Democrats here. I don't think there would be. They'd be gone. And there's a caveat to this. Satan's cosmic system is composed of two separate dynospheres. Two separate ones. And that's where we'll go now. Cosmic One. Cosmic One is Satan's exploitation of arrogant believers, which enables him to control them. That's essentially what it's about. Now, if you are not arrogant and you stay not arrogant, then you won't have to worry about Cosmic One. But I believe all of us from time to time step in a pool of arrogance. I was trying to think of what I wanted to call it. Okay. The next one. Cosmic Two. Cosmic Two uses Satan's lies to promote animosity in believers towards anything related to God. And, of course, he promotes animosity in believers, again, by his lies. And believers, weak believers, fall for it. And then it gets really bad. Because when Satan promotes animosity towards anything related to God, it means he's estranged from God. And they get to where, well, sometimes people will, they maybe were saved and they got into a church or somewhere and got started getting doctrine. And after a while, they kind of faded and they became weak spiritually. And that's when Satan loves to pounce on them and promote animosity so that they don't even, it's not that they don't like doctrine anymore. And usually they have an excuse, well, I just don't have time. So you don't have time for the Bible? You don't have time for God? Is that a good decision? And he goes through his lies again to do that. Now, this is just something I wanted to put together right here. And I shortened this also, but I thought it was so important I would put it in here. It's not a definition, but it's something that we all need to realize. Believers inside the divine dynasphere are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are in cosmic system. But believers inside the dynasphere are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means a lot, doesn't it? It means we're right with God and we can use the power that the Holy Spirit imparts to us. So believers inside the divine dynasphere are filled with the Holy Spirit. So he, the Holy Spirit, fights our, I should put here, their battle, but our battles, and we win. How about that? Is that a good deal? I'd say that's a good deal, wouldn't you? You're not fighting, because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are depending upon the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of the Lord when it comes to giving us that power. So again, believers inside the divine dynasphere are filled with the Holy Spirit. So he fights their battles and they win. Believers in the cosmic system are in carnality. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're believers, but they're not. And carnality means they are not right with God. So they fight their own battles and they, what? Lose. Do you know what that means, lose, when you are depending on yourself? We all have done it probably thousands of times. But the more you grow in grace and knowledge, taking in God's Word, the more that you are going to do the smart thing, and that is to be inside the divine dynasphere where you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't like to lose. Now, I'm not a bad loser. I mean, I don't make a big stink and start, you know, doing something silly. but I'm competitive and I like to win. I remember, oh, this was years ago, I went to my daughter's house and my middle grandchild was playing some, I think it was you racing cars on the TV. And his name is Grant. And he was winning. He was beating everyone. And so he asked me to play. I said, okay. And so by some hook or crook, by some miracle, I beat him. And he threw a fit. I mean, he threw the thing down and was stomping around. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I didn't win. I said, well, get used to that. And he said, yeah, but I don't like it. I said, well, that's why that's what you do when you lose. You don't like it. And finally, I must have talked to him for 15 minutes before he finally would say, okay. And I finally got him to say, I asked him, I said, now, in the future, when you lose, what are you going to do? He said, not get mad. I said, that's good enough. Grace is all that God is free to do for man on the basis of the cross. So we talk about grace all the time, but could you give a definition? It's very simple. If Christ didn't go to the cross and pay for our sins, then God would not be free to give us grace, because God just can't overlook our sins. We either had to pay for them or Christ did. And when Christ did it on the cross, then that erased the God giving us grace, even though we don't deserve it. That wouldn't be right, wouldn't be fair, and it's certainly not godly. And this is it. Grace is all that God is free to do for man on the basis of the cross. Then we have logistical grace. Logistical grace comes from the grace of God to every believer for the necessities of life. And those necessities would be like food, housing, transportation, and hundreds of other things as well. Now, you understand why that's grace. You could be the worst Christian that ever was, the worst believer, but He takes care of us, and I'm going to show you something in a little while that will put this in its proper perspective. Then we have super grace. Anybody in here interested in super grace? Super grace is extra abundant grace for believers who reach spiritual maturity. And it's found in, not only here, but in James chapter 4, verse 6. He gives greater grace to the humble, and He is against the arrogant. Super grace. And then we have surpassing grace. Now, you have to be a mature believer to where God is going to open the door and will have much greater grace than we did when we were getting logistical grace. That's not to put logistical grace down, because it is important. But super grace is above that. One reason that He waits for us to reach spiritual maturity is because if we weren't mature enough and God started just flooding us with all these blessings, then we would get our eye off of Him and on to the blessings, and that wouldn't be good. So when we reach spiritual maturity, then that's when He offers super grace. Excuse me. Now, one thing I want to say about spiritual maturity. Some people wonder, well, how do you know if you're at spiritual maturity? I mean, if you've been taking in the Word for a long time, maybe a month, years, whatever it may be, it's not that you can go to someone and say, guess what? On February the 9th, I reached super grace. And if somebody tells you that, you know they're not in super grace. It's not something that we is definite. We know that we're there. But at least we know that the Lord is being very generous to you all his blessings he's given into you. It's a bit nebulous, but it really doesn't matter. The way I think about it is, excuse me. By the way, I have a new thing here. It makes the sound better. But, how's it going, Vidal? Okay, good. So anyway, you don't make a big deal out of it. You just thank the Lord for the blessings he's given you. And if you strut around telling people that you're in spiritual maturity now, you're going to lose friends and you're going to go into a reversionism, which you don't want to do. I just threw that in. That's not part of the deal here. The next one we have is surpassing grace. It's the extra abundant grace for believers in heaven, which lasts for all eternity. So you're not going to get super grace blessings in heaven if you don't have super grace blessings on earth. But the super grace is limited just to the earth, just to the time that we spend on this planet, and you're in super grace. But then when you go to surpassing grace, it's greater, more abundant than super grace. And the part that I like best about this is that it's extra abundant grace for believers, which lasts for all eternity. Super grace only lasts while you're on earth, but all these blessings for all eternity. But if you're not a believer that's interested in Bible doctrine, then you're going to be getting logistical grace, but you're not going to get these other two. By the way, you like the color behind this? You know, the ones that we've been studying is that, beige color. I thought y'all would get tired of it, so I changed the color for you. I hope you like it. Blessings by association. What is that? Direct blessings from God goes to the person in association with a mature believer whose cup has run over to others. So this really doesn't have that much to do with the person that is a super grace believer and God has been pouring blessings into his cup to where they overflow, and they overflow to people who are associating or that he knows and he's associated with. Then God allows those overflowing blessings to go to these people. They don't earn it or deserve it. They don't even have to be a believer. They'd be an unbeliever. But that is how powerful God's blessings are. And this is the last one. By the way, we're going to build on these. This is just a start. And as we go through and we have these terms that you're not really... when I teach... For instance, the hypostatic union, I go into great detail about it, but this is just for a thumbnail look at the terms, and hopefully that if you understand those enough, and you can try to memorize them if you want to, but I think it'd be better if you just let the Holy Spirit come out of you and explain to them in your own words what these terms are. And then they might get interested in... Who knows where from that? So the hypostatic union, hypostatic, if you're just looking at this and just by audio, is spelled H-Y-P-O-S-T-A-T-I-C, hypostatic union. And it's Jesus Christ is unique. He is unique above all things in the universe. He is unique from the Father, and he is unique from the Holy Spirit. And here's why. He is 100% deity and 100% humanity, united in one body forever. He is the God-man. A lot of people think, not a lot, but there are misguided people that think that Jesus Christ is not God. He's a God. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. And there's others as well. But they certainly wouldn't subscribe to this. But it's important for us to know these things, because as we study the Bible and when we talk to people, we want to have everything in our arsenal to pull out to give Christ the glory He deserves. Okay, we're done with this for right now. Uh-oh, wrong button. There you go. Everybody gets quiet and nervous when I start pushing buttons, and it includes me too. Okay, let's see. I want to do away with those. Okay, we're going to go back on there now. I've got to get it rigged. Oh, nope. That wasn't it. Down here. Let's see. Okay. Going down here. I'm nearly out of the woods here. Okay. Wait a minute. That's not what I want. Hold on. I want to go back down here. Oh, I know what it is. I got to put on my glasses. Okay, here it is here. I gotta go. Slideshow. Hallelujah. Okay. So we just did a thumbnail look at some of these terms. And now we're going to do some deep diving into these terms. The first one we're going to go to is the source of blessings by association. Remember we went over that one? And so we're going to start here. Now, blessings by association, number one, says it's direct blessings from God goes to the person in association with a mature believer. The person that is in association with you who is going to get the blessings didn't contribute to anything, didn't earn anything, but the mature believer has so many blessings, they just flow out, and they will be blessed for this super grace believer. Indirect blessings from God occurs because the mature believer provides the blessing from his own prosperity. That means he is prospering because he has grown and he is a mature believer now, and it comes from him. He's the one that God provides it, but he's the one that is prospering from it, and then it goes to his friends and family and who knows else. In fulfillment of Romans chapter 12, verse 13, it has this phrase in it. Contributes to the needs of the saints. And we're talking about a mature believer can contribute to the needs of the saints simply by reaching super grace and his cup running over. The mature believer gives of his time, wealth, success, love, personality, and whatever the category of his prosperity might be. So you might have one or two of these, or you might have all of them, or whatever it is. But this is what a mature believer who is overflowing with blessings look like. The things that he has that are listed in this list here are the things that people are going to be able to receive the blessings for. Now, Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, I start not to throw that in there because it seems like it doesn't belong. But as we go through a believer who is a super grace believer, then one of the things he's going to have by blessings by association is national impact. National impact. First of all, usually your family will be the ones that would be blessed by association. Then it might be your town, or it might be your state, but it can go all the way to the nation. One believer can have all that association be blessed because God has so many blessings, but it is the super grace believer that brings it about. So if you want our nation to do well, it looks like it's going in the right direction, then what we want to do is to be a super grace believer so the blessings by association will impact our nation. God provides logistical grace. Now I'm talking about logistical grace. God provides logistical grace to every church age believer. We are in the church age. And every believer receives logistical grace, which we already went over in a thumbnail. So logistical grace to every church age believer. Logistics is a military word which refers to the military science of supply and provision. They have a lot of guys in there, and ladies also, and they eat. They eat a lot. And so this is part of that. It is a technical military term for sustaining troops in every form of military activity and maneuver in the barracks, in the field, in the battle, before the battle, and after the battle. God is going to provide for his children, believers. And so no matter what they do, he is providing. And we call that what? One word, starts with a G. Don't do better than that. Grace. Let's do it together. Okay. Boy, we got several people here tonight or today. We ought to be able to raise the roof. And when I say okay, and we're going to say grace, but say it like you mean it, okay? Are you ready? Okay. Grace! All right. I like that. That's good. All right. Point one, God provides the things we need, and we don't have to earn or deserve them. Even carnal and reversionistic believers. Now, a carnal believer is a believer that is out of fellowship with God temporarily, and a reversionistic believer is constantly out of fellowship with God. So even carnal and reversionistic believers and winners and losers receive logistical grace from God. So if you're in the reversionistic or carnal or the loser column, you want to move that over to where it's going to be on the winners and the winner side. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make how much grace? All grace. And we'll get to that later. Abound to you that always having all sufficiency in everything. Now let's just stop and let's think. Listen to these words. God is able to make grace abound to you that always having all sufficiency in everything, and that includes logistical grace, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So God is going to make sure you have what you need. And it's always and it's all sufficient, and in everything you're going to have an abundance for every good work because of logistical grace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. And my God shall supply what kind of needs? All your needs. So, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Do you ever have to be concerned about God running out of supply or running out of grace? Is that ever going to happen? No. So you don't have to worry about that. Put that aside, because He shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, which are unlimited. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, you might think, I don't get it. Well, let me give it to you. The eternal God is a dwelling place. A dwelling place. Another way of saying this is the eternal God is our house. Don't you feel secure at home? Don't you feel warm and like you're in the right place? That's what this is saying. The eternal God is our dwelling place, our house, and everything that goes with it. Have you ever been on a long, let's say a trip, and you were anxious to get home? And when you went in the house and you sat down and you saw all the familiar things, you just took a sigh, I'm home. That's what the dwelling place is. And then when it says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, this would be for referring to us as well. I know it's in the Old Testament. But underneath the everlasting arms means when we fall, when we falter, God's everlasting arms go under us and support us. And so it's just logistical grace, I think, even in things like this, to a degree, do the same. Now, point two is David gives the testimony of old age to logistical grace. We don't have too many people in here that this doesn't refer to. In other words, we got some old folks in here. Here it is. Psalm 37:25. I hope y'all can see that. Psalm 37:25. This is David, King David speaking. I have been young, but now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. That would be logistical grace imputed to righteousness, which we'll get to soon. Nor his seed begging bread. And why is that? Because God is faithful. It doesn't matter how old you are, that He will still take care of your needs. Point three, this means that logistical grace blessings to us can extend as far as the third generation. That means if you're a super grace blessing and the logistical grace blessings have overflown, then it go to your daughter or son, your granddaughter or grandson, or your great-granddaughter. And your great for the son as well. So that's a long time. Most people don't live to see that. A lot of times they're gone before they're, especially the third generation is there, but it still continues. So God sends logistical grace to the righteous that He gave to us as a gift when we believe the gospel. That's what I said a moment ago. So One reason that logistical grace works is because God gives us logistical grace to the righteousness that was given to us as a gift when we believe the gospel. I'm going to go into this deeper now. This is not for us. This is for those who would be reading this, and I'm telling them to go to countrybiblechurch.us website, homepage, and click on the tab Visuals and scroll down to Grace Pipeline. And so that's what they will see, and you're going to it right now. I hope it's that's as big as I could get it. Can y'all see it over here on this TV? Okay. So many of you have seen this before, but it never gets old, and it's pertinent for right now. We'll stop at the start at the top left where it says God blesses sinful man without compromising his perfect justice and righteousness. You see, if Christ didn't go to the cross and take care of our sins, then we wouldn't be able to get God's righteousness because, as I said before, he would have done something that was wrong, which is impossible for God to do. If you look on the other side, that box says, we are not blessed because of what we do for God, but because of what God has done for us. Now, that gets people's attention at times. But let's look at what we see here. You see this pipeline. It's like a pipe. You see the arrow. And this is how God functions. The righteousness of God requires that his justice give blessings or logistical grace to the believers. And this is why. I hope you're getting this. See, God's righteousness down here at the bottom requires his own justice to have these blessings go down through there. And if these things coming off of it that are green, these are people's effort to try to get God's blessing by what they do. And so I'll look at the right side. The first one is personality, talent, tithing, social action, sacrifice, tithing again is twice in there, I guess. I want to say something. The Baptist would like that, but I'll go on. Self-righteousness, morality, witnessing, prayer, giving, service, sincerity, emotionalism, and you can put a lot more there. These are man's efforts to try to get in there and get these grace blessings, and they're the reason why. These things are not bad things. They're good things. But they cannot penetrate this pipe, because that pipe is just for the logistical grace and blessings that flow directly to God. None of these things have anything to do with it. Now, when you understand that, let's read that top right box again. We are not blessed because of what we do for God, but because of what God has done for us. And so, if God did, let's say, where's one here? Giving. Here's giving right here in the middle on the left side. And if he says, oh, well, they gave an extra amount to church, I'm going to bless them for that. Well, he's already, what he does, he would be no longer be righteous. And if the people who did the giving, they'd get a big head. You understand? They'd strut around. So God doesn't need anything from us. You understand that? A lot of people are so proud about all the good things they did. Now, we should do good things, but we don't do it for salvation, and we don't do it to get God's blessings. Do you understand that? God would cheapen himself and would have to go break his essence to do that. So the blessings come from God's justice, and they go down to his righteousness. And then underneath that I have imputed to every believer. So every believer gets this logistical grace that comes through that way. And then you can maybe write these verses down at the bottom. Matthew 6:33, Romans 3:21-22, Romans 4:3-5. That's a good one. You're going to like that one. And Philippians 3:9. So that's the grace pipeline, and it helps us to understand that when we do something good for God, or you especially throw yourself into work for Him, we don't pat ourselves on the back. It is because of God and His plan, and these blessings come from His righteousness. And see, that's why it's so important that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, instantly we are given the gift of eternal life. And we're also given the gift of God's own righteousness. So you have to have eternal life to be with Jesus in heaven. You've got to have God's own righteousness to be in heaven, because there's no sin in heaven. So we're gaining on this thing here. The next one I just threw in here, I'll just go over it kind of. This is the six types of grace. By the way, these things that you're seeing, six types of grace and the grace pipeline, are on the website. And you go to, well, you saw it before. You go to the, visuals, that's right. It's visuals, tab, and then go down. It's in alphabetical order, and you can find these. And there's about 200 of them. Anyhow, do you know what common grace is? Common grace is when someone, a believer, goes to someone and gives them the gospel, and that person is unsaved, he's given them the gospel, and they are spiritually dead. So how can they understand the gospel if they are spiritually dead? Because the gospel is a spiritual phenomenon. So what God does is He enables the unbeliever to understand what's happening there, being saved, by what we call common grace. God enables them to understand, even though they're spiritually dead, the gospel. And so we call that common grace. That happens every time. Well, I should say every time that the gospel is given correctly. The gospel, there's so many people that have different gospels, and it's a shame, because there are even guys that are well known in theology, and they do the same. So the next thing is efficacious grace. Efficacious grace means once that believer has heard and understood the gospel, and he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit takes that blip on the radar and makes it effective for salvation. That's efficacious grace. We don't earn any of these things. The next one is logistical grace, is what we've been going over. We have super grace. We've been going over that. And then dying grace. Dying grace is when you die, if you're a mature believer or super grace believer, then God makes sure that it's not going to be something that you're afraid of. You're looking forward to see Christ and go to heaven. And it's some people say, I don't know how they know it, but they say they know people that said when they were dying that it was the greatest time they've had on earth. So that's dying grace. The opposite of that is not having dying grace, and people are afraid and they are panicking and that type of thing. And then the last one here is surpassing grace, and that's the one that occurs in heaven. So those are the six types of grace, and now we'll go on. We don't have much time left. Psalm 68, verse 19 through 20. Blessed be the God who daily bears our burdens, and that's both physical and psychological. The God who is our deliverance. God is to us a God of deliverances, And to God belongs the escape from death. Now, when it says, who daily bears our burdens, I want to zero in on that part for a moment. I don't know about you, but every day I need the Lord to bear my burdens. And the burdens range from maybe dropping your jelly sandwich on the wrong side. That's a burden. It is to me. Now I have to decide whether I'm going to eat it or throw it away. Anyway, God wants your burdens. Whatever is on you in your soul that is bringing you down, give it to God. He wants it. He's the only one that can really do something about it. And so that's what this is talking about. Blessed be the God who daily bears our burdens. And sometimes it might be physical, it might be health, or it might be psychological. Whatever it is, He wants them. Because when you turn your burdens over to the Lord and you just say, I can't take this, I need help, and I'm trusting you to take my burden or to take this problem or issue, whatever it is. And He takes it. Now, don't say it out loud, but I want you, what is it that we do when we give our problems to the Lord? What is our job? Are you thinking? Yeah. Well, first of all, we're going to wait. When I say wait, that means we're not going to say, okay, Lord, this is my problem. I'm giving it to you. And then 10 minutes later, I think I'll take that back. I think I can do something to help this. That doesn't do any good, does it? And so what you do is wait, which is my most unliking thing to do. I don't like to wait. But, you know, there are times, and I go to HEB a lot, and I'm in a hurry, and especially when I'm in a hurry and I'm checking out, and I go the shortest line, of course, and something's going to happen. Now, some of you have been with me and you've seen it actually happen. I think, okay, I'm next, and some man wants the cigarettes, and they're locked in about half a mile down the store. And they got to go find the key, get it out, and bring it back down to there. And what I'm doing when that's happening is I'm looking at all the other places, and those people are already out of the store, and I'm still standing there. And I'm thinking, but I'm getting, and sometimes I recognize this is a test. Am I going to wait and just be at ease, or am I going to be turmoil inside? And so this is what it's talking about. You have to let it go. So, you know, the Lord might have had me stand behind that woman, have all that done, because if I would have gone out and got out on 290, some big truck could have run over me. I don't know that could happen, but He is for us. And He does things like that. So blessed is the God who daily bears our burden. Now, He's not going to bear your burden unless you give it to Him. And when you're in prayer, you say, this thing is eating me alive. I'm taking this problem and giving it to you, and I'm going to trust it in your hands, and I'm going to wait. That's easy to say. It's not so easy to do, because sometimes things get worse. And you think, Lord, remember what we talked about? So, it's really important. So, the God who is our deliverance. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God belongs the escape from death. And then we have Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 through 33. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What is this talking about? All the things we were talking about with grace and so forth. Which one is this appealing to? Father knows that you need all these things. Logistical grace, right? And so, this is Christ answering, but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. That means you stay trusting me, growing in grace, taking in the word, and all these things will be added to you. And see, the first part of that, for all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, most of the Gentiles in this context were seeking it, but they weren't seeking God. And so they didn't get what they really needed. Okay, I'm going to stop here because I don't have but about a minute left. It's a good place to stop anyway. So this last portion of our service goes out to someone here, maybe, or to those who are live streaming, or they'll get on the YouTube sometime. I give the good news, and it's really the great news. It's amazing how many people don't get it straight. Most people who are afraid of death, they don't know what's going to happen to them after they die. They don't like to talk about death, but they need to hear this good news. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He went to the cross and paid the sins for the entire world, which means it included your sins as well, and my sins. And those sins are gone. And a lot of people think, well, I'm afraid if I die, I'm going to go to hell because I've sinned so much. Well, that's a crock, because Jesus Christ took care of the sins of the world. That means people don't go to hell for their sins. They go to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. The moment that someone takes, hears the gospel or is reading the scriptures and so forth, the moment they put their faith alone in Christ alone and what He did on the cross, that is how a person is saved. That is the only way that anyone has ever been saved, is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment that you do that, then you become a child of God. Your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. There's so many wonderful things that you're going to experience, and it's all because of His grace. It's not complicated, but a lot of people try to throw in works. God does not care about our works. Just remember the pipeline, all the things that people are trying to do to get some credit or whatever, it doesn't work. God is interested in us. He loves us. But the only way anyone can be saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your plan, which You had made in eternity past, before the world was created. You knew us back then as well, intimately. And we're so thankful for Your word, and we see these things that also played out for our behalf. You are for us, not against us. And we pray that we will go to these terms and get it in our soul to where we can tell other people about what we have learned and impart it to them and let it go from there. So we thank You for all of these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.